This interview is going to be one of my absolute pleasures and delights because it's a longtime friend and probably one of the greatest advocates and benefactors of entrepreneurship in this country that I've ever met. Fran Tarkenton, who besides being a celebrated athlete, has started more companies from scratch than I can even count, built them from the ground up, as he likes to say, from the dirt, created them, given them birth, sold them for very impressive amounts. And he spends a lot of his time now advocating, contributing, guiding, helping, stimulating the growth and the success of entrepreneurs, small business owners all over the country. And we're going to talk to him about crowdfunding because he's a great optimist, but he's also a great realist, and his knowledge base is profound. Hello, Fran.
Hello, J. Abraham. Good to be with you as always.
Yeah, it's my great honor. So I'm going to ask you a rat-tat-tat series. It's only going to take about a half an hour, but I want your perspective, first of all. And crowdfunding is not quite as simple. Everyone thinks it's going to be the motherlode. I hope it is. It's very promising. There are people doing, as you probably know, reward-based now.
Yep.
And there are people doing lending now. There's accredited investing that's available, and they're all waiting anxiously for non-accredited, where it's going to be sort of like Shark Tank on steroids all over the country. What's your first take on the whole concept of crowdfunding?
I am very familiar with crowdfunding. On my radio show, I've had a couple advocates over the last year about crowdfunding. I think it's terrific. I think it will work and will spread, and it will be putting money down to people that would not have access to this money. The hardest thing for mom-and-pa startups, and we're not talking about Silicon Valley. That's a small percentage of the startups.
I agree.
There are 540,000 startups every month in America.
Wow.
And only 9% of these people are still there 2 years later. And these comes out of the Kaufman reports. And so these people, they don't get venture money. They don't get private equity money. They don't go to the bank and get money. They get it from friends and families if possible. But now they've got a source. The grassroots people have a source with crowdfunding to be able to get some funding that they would never gotten before. I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. And I think it's going to make a difference in the whole entrepreneurial movement in this country.
Now, the positive optimism notwithstanding, I have sort of insinuated myself in the industry as a voice of not just reason, but of trying to teach people the value coefficients that you need to incorporate in whatever you do, whether you're having a platform, whether you're trying to raise money, whether you're looking at investing money, that there's some really serious factors and elements you got to see that exist. You want to comment upon that?
Number one, I think that you really have to understand what your business is going to be, and you've got to test it out, and you've got to make sure you've got a business model and a financial model that works, or you'll raise this money and it'll be gone, whether you raise it from the bank or crowdfunding or whatever it might be. I've learned those lessons. When I started out, people told me to go to the bank and get $50,000 because I could. And I did that. But I really did not have a good business plan, a good idea, a proven model of how I was going to generate revenue and generate profits. So therefore, that $50,000 went out the door before I knew it, and the bank was knocking on my door asking me to pay it back. And so I think that anybody that goes out to get any kind of funding at all, crowdfunding or whatever it may be, you've got to make sure that you've thought through your business model, you've tested your business model, you've got a product or service that makes sense, that people have actually said they want, and a financial model that works. And the one thing in the financial model that's got to work is cash flow. Big businesses and little businesses, many of them don't understand cash flow.
I know.
I just read an article written by a recently retired chairman of Georgia Pacific. And he talked about, he went to all the schools, this and that. But in high school, at 12 or 13 years old, his father died. And he was running a men's store down in South Georgia, a little town of Waycross. And his mother, who never run the store, and he is a young teenager, they had to go figure it out. And he said, what we figured out real quickly was, at the end of the day, if we don't have more money in the cash register than we did at the beginning of the day, we're in trouble. And he said, that's never left me. I understood cash flow in that little men's store business when I was a teenager, and that served me well in running multi-billion dollar companies.
And Fran, you and I both get to look at lots of business plans. You've probably looked at infinitely more than I. But the one thing that always troubles me is that their projections are so, so lavish. Their sense of how they're going to accomplish it is so abstract. They don't have a hedge strategy, even though there's been enormous loads of stuff written about the fact that most companies have to pivot, or they have to shift, or they have to experiment, or course correct. I would make one more comment, and I'm going to let you address any and all of them, and that is the value of mentorship, because I've always thought that the most valuable thing, and there's tons of research confirming it, you can do is bring in a lot of mentors or advisors from outside who will hold you to a higher standard and show investors you've got them, and have those people, those advisors, pre-audit, so to speak, or pre-play devil's advocate with all of your suppositions before you go to the market with them, market being either investor or consumer. You want to comment to any all?
Yeah. Well, see, most people work for somebody else all their life. They worked in big companies, worked for the government, they worked for somebody else, they had a guaranteed salary, right?
Yep.
And here's the deal. If you're an entrepreneur starting a business, you know this for sure, that your original idea hardly ever stays that original idea. It changes. You have to work with the speed of light as an entrepreneur, because you have to lose and lose fast. And that losing and losing fast and trying things and shifting, as you say, shifting courses, has to be done, because never have I ever started out a business and it ended up like I thought it was going to be. Never.
I know.
Always this. Whatever time frame I put on it, it was always much longer time frame to make it work. Whatever kind of dollars I thought would be needed, I needed more dollars than that. So I learned that very quickly. But I learned that I needed to try and work things and try things and fail with them and learn from the failure and move on. And finally, eventually, maybe you're fortunate enough to have something that works. And then you make that work, but then you got to continue on and still look for more platforms and more ways to make your product more relevant. And to learn that, you need mentors, but you need, entrepreneurs need to talk with entrepreneurs. You know how I learned to play quarterback in the National Football League? I learned from other quarterbacks. I learned from retired quarterbacks. I didn't learn from offensive tackles or defensive ends. I didn't learn from brain surgeons. I learned from quarterbacks. They taught me how to play. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you need to learn from entrepreneurs. You're not going to learn from the president of the Coca-Cola company. You're not going to learn from McKinsey, the consulting company, because these people have never done it. If you're going to go do brain surgery, I would suggest you would probably be better off to learn from a neurosurgeon than you were from a knee surgeon.
I love that. Let me ask you a different question. It's related, because a lot of people are embracing this nascent industry with enthusiasm and with a great, great hopefulness, but I don't know that they have the resiliency necessary to be, let's say, rejected, disacknowledged, not seeming relevant. People don't realize that when you try to raise money, you're not just trying to raise money against other people in the crowdfunding, you're raising money against all other investment options the investor has.
Yeah, but also, in most cases, you're raising money when you haven't got a proven business model.
Yes.
And let me say this. My best ideas that I've had in business didn't work. You know, and you don't know that whether they're going to work until you do them, right? And then when you see that they're not going to work, you better change your model or try something else totally. And if you're an entrepreneur, you understand that. And that's why if you're going to go and take, raising money is not the answer to your business problem or business challenge. That's not it. To find a product or service that people want, to be able to pay you the dollars that you need to have to provide that product and service and make it better and have a value and give them something they want, solve a problem for them, and that you have room to make a profit, that's all where it is. And that's not easy. That's why businesses fail. But on the other hand, the big guys, right? How many companies that were here 50 years ago, they're not here today? And look at the struggles of JCPenney. Montgomery Ward is out of business. Sears Roebuck is irrelevant. And you see so many of these big companies, and they come into irrelevancy because they forgot that their job is to be smarter every day, to make their products more relevant every day, to make sure that their customer experience is great every day, and change has got to happen. And you get stuck in that model. Oh, I've got the model. This is working today. If you're stuck there and don't get better tomorrow and be more relevant tomorrow, you die.
So what's the lesson? Because going to people with an unproven business model when there are going to be probably hundreds of thousands is an understatement. I think there's going to be such a just an overwhelming number of people trying to go get money once they legalize non-accredited investment. What do you think the key's got to be?
If I were going to invest in something, they'd have to prove to me that their product or service is viable and is wanted and needed by customer.
Before you give them a dime.
Before I give them a nickel. Crowdfunding or any kind of funding.
And that makes total sense. What do you think the greatest, besides that, what two or three pieces of sage and transferable advice can you give them we haven't covered yet? I'm trying to inspire people from
I think
from.
That the longer I have worked, I'm 73 years old. I've built multiple businesses. I think the last count was 20. As you said, I built them with my hands in the soil. I built them from the dirt. And the more I do this, I struggle like everybody else struggles to find something that works. And I know this. I have to talk to people. I have to ask questions. I have to reach out, read things, talk to my internal people. Why is this relevant? Why is this not relevant? Why does this work? Why does this not work? The best thing an entrepreneur needs is respect for everybody they talk to, respect for their employees and respect for their business partners. And that's got to be number one. And the next thing, they got to talk to people. You've got to build relationships. You got to be honest with one another. You got to be willing to disagree. You got to be willing to compromise. You got to be willing to think outside of the proverbial box. You got to hear other people's ideas and opinions. And because you've got to look at reality. You know, most of us want to look at what might be and build a dream. And you know the stuff they say, you got to love what you do, right?
Yep.
I think that's nuts. I worked in jobs in the off season for trucking firms, knocking on the door of shipping clerks in the winter in January and February in North and South Dakota. I've had all kinds of jobs. I love my jobs because no matter what they were, because they paid me some money, not a lot, but they put a value on what I did. And really what creates the joy is building a product, building a service, building a business that somebody comes and wants to buy your product or service and acknowledges that. That is the thrill. The thrill is that. And so the mission of business is not to make money. The mission of business is to help people.
That's great.
The mission of business is to be a servant to people. And if you do that, you've got a sustainable mission, because that's going to make you want to make sure you tell people the truth, you respect them, you respect their dollar they spend with you, you want to make their customer experience the best it can be, and that is a sustainable mission. If you go in with a mission to get rich, to make money, you'll compromise your principles, and all you have to do is look at what happens on Wall Street. At Goldman Sachs, insider trading, at Johnson & Johnson, paying billions of dollars of fines for lying to people, from J.P. Morgan Bank, paying $14 billion because they lied to people. And so do you think those people are happy in their business? No. Was Bernie Madoff happy in his business? Couldn't have been. You're only happy in business when you do that. Now, in doing that, I've never thought about how much money I can make in doing something. I never thought about winning championships in football or games, because it's a process. In playing football, I had to make sure that I was doing the things, the activities on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday to prepare me to have a chance to win on Sunday. If I didn't do the processes, I had no chance on Sunday. So if I'm focusing on the win and on how much money I'm going to make, I'm focusing on the wrong things. I got to focus on the process of building value for that customer.
And Fran, and we got to know what value means to that customer,
yes,
or that client.
Yes, which means, let me give you, Bernie Marcus started Home Depot, and he's 84 years old now. He built it from the dirt. He lived in tenement housing in New Jersey, came from nothing. And so he said, you know, I found out that most big businesses, they think gravity goes up, because they're all up in the penthouse towers. He said, when I built my stores, I spent most of my time out in the parking lot with my customers. They didn't know who I was. And I spent the other time with my associates in the stores. And one day I'm outside of my store and I see this guy with a bunch of lumber coming out. And I said, where are the nails? And he didn't know who I was. I said, well, I don't buy the nails here. I buy the nails down the street there because the nails here don't work. He said, what do you mean the nails don't work? They just don't work. He goes in the hardware department and he sees Ralph in the hardware department. He said, Ralph, are we selling any nails? Not as many as we used to, Mr. Marcus. He said, why? He said, because our nails bend. They had changed suppliers. He's down in the trenches, and so he can make the change, right? Because he's got to solve the problem. That's what we do in business. We solve people's problems. We give them products that they tell us they need. And that drives who we are. And it starts with respect. It starts with humility. It starts with talking to people and being curious and having in our mind, my mission is to help people, to help solve their problems, give them products and services that they want, not that I want them to have.
You know, that's great. And you've probably taught me more than anyone to ask so many questions and really do your homework. And don't just ask questions of one person, but ask the same questions of many people in the same seemingly situation and see if the answers mesh, see if they're different, see how they look at the situation before you take any action.
And also, Jay, the thing I've learned over my years of business, you need partners. You really need partners. And you need partners that are 1 + 1 = 3. But to have a partner, you gotta have a partner that really wants to partner with you. And if you go out and solicit partners or seek partners, and they're hard to deal with, they stagger around and they don't do the things they're supposed to do, go to the next one. And so I've had great partnerships with big companies and little companies.
You have.
I had great partnerships with IBM. IBM worked. You know why IBM worked? Because they were a multi-zillion-dollar company, and I was a little bitty software company. But I found out that IBM loved me. You know why they loved me?
Why?
Because I did what I said. And I help make them money. I help make them money. And most people, I'm a partner with IBM, and boy, they can make me a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And think, what can I do for them? Well, I did a lot for them. And they appreciated that, and they responded accordingly. You know, I've built a partnership with Office Depot now. And Office Depot has just gone through a big merger with Office Max, $17 billion company. It almost broke 2 years ago. Almost went into bankruptcy. They're in the big box business that have become irrelevant. And so they came to see me, and I said, we need your help because you work with small business people. I said, well, what's your mission? They said, our mission is we're selling ink, toner, and paper. I said, really? What's your differentiating point? They said, well, we don't have one. I said, not only do you compete against Staples and Office Max and others, Walgreens you're competing against, and Sam's Club and Costco. I said, who are your customers? Business people are our customers. Mostly small business people are our customers. I said, why don't you have a new mission? Why don't you have a mission that we're going to help you small business people, you startups, have trusted knowledge in one place, trusted knowledge and information to be able to help you run your business and start your business more effectively. And I said to him, I'm not going to call you. I said, if you want to work with me, then you got to make the move. And that was a year and a half later. They've been the best partner. They've been engaged. They've got a mission to help people. They got a mission to help that small business entrepreneur. So the first thing we did, we put up a website that's free, smallbizclub.com. We are aggregating hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs where a carpenter in Atlanta, Georgia can talk to a carpenter in Seattle, Washington. And we bring information for, we got 180 contributors, entrepreneur contributors, articles, videos from people who understand entrepreneurship, that understand small business. And we're going to change that number that succeeds from 9% to 50% or 40% or 100% because we're going to give them the knowledge and the tools to be able to interact and get smarter, because I've got to get smarter every day. At 73, I'm smarter today than I was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5, because I'm more curious, and I understand this. Every time I thought I had the answer, I got beat. I never am satisfied with where I am.
I'm never satisfied.
I want to make that partner, I want to make their lives richer. I want to make them more relevant. I want to make them money. I want to take that customer and I want to help them do whatever they want to do. I want to be relevant to them, and I want to be transparent to them, and I start and I end with total respect for all of my customers, for all of my prospects, for all of my partners, and for all the people that work with me, from the janitor to my smartest person, highest paid person. I do not discriminate by rank and file. I treat them all with the greatest and greatest of respect.
And Fran, that's been one of the greatest lessons that I've gained from you. You made a comment years ago, and I've acknowledged it as coming from you, but I've appropriated it as a foundation of my life. And you said any time any two people come together, your goal, your job, your responsibility, and your opportunity is to make them better off because you were in their life. Very, very important. I've got 1 minute left. I'm going to ask you a bizarre question. What's the one question no one ever asks you that they should that can be applied also to crowdfunding? But you're always interviewed. You got your show on Sirius every Saturday,
yep,
twice. You've got a lot of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful activities and resources for entrepreneurs. You've been a great friend, but what does nobody ask you that they should?
It's a good question. I'll tell you the truth. Most of them don't ask me any questions. I'll give you an example. I played pro football at the highest level. I played it as a 6-foot, 190-pound quarterback.
Okay.
And you know how many quarterbacks a day, or since I retired, have ever come to me and say, tell me how you did it?
Really?
Not one. Not one.
And what do you think that says?
I say that people don't understand how you get better. You talk to the people that have done what you've done. Quarterbacks talk to quarterbacks. Presidents of companies should talk to presidents of other big companies. Entrepreneurs ought to talk to entrepreneurs. Neurosurgeons talk to neurosurgeons. I got a lot of neurosurgeon friends.
Exactly.
Got to be curious. You've got to go and ask the questions of the people that do what you're doing.
And people don't realize, but you made a comment which is nothing you said, even though it sounds very uplifting, is really motivation. It's actually very factual. I know you to be one of the most, not just promiscuously curious, but very focused in your curiosity, because you want to understand intimately and truthfully at a higher level than the people you're competing against all the implications, all the elements, all the relevant factors and facts and dynamics of every situation, because with that knowledge, it really is power.
I don't believe in fad diets, and I don't believe in motivation. I believe in the fundamentals that we've talked about. Telling the truth, treating people with respect, because we have all the get-rich-quick guys out there. Come join me. Come do my deal, because I'll make you a billionaire overnight. And they have no care of who you are. It's all about the money. When I hear people talk about all about the money, I run.
I agree. You know, I agree. Only because I've got a time limit. I would love to continue on this, because I think you've got more relevant and more foundational insight in the real entrepreneurial condition and what it takes to make it successful, and it's a universal understanding. But you've got your show on Sirius, you got smallbizclub.com, you got all kinds of really cool things, and you're probably one of the most passionately dedicated fans, champions, and advocates of entrepreneurship. I know it's a pleasure having you as a friend.
Thank you, Jay. Right back at you, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.